Please take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 121. It's found on page 516 in the Church Bibles, Psalm 121. And for both our New Year's sermons today, both this morning and this evening, Psalm 121 will be our text. This morning we'll focus on the first four verses, but I'll read the whole psalm right now. Psalm 121, and now please give your full attention to the reading of God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. Well, beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to 2021. Many people are quite pleased to have left 2020 behind. Some, in fact, have even acted as if the year was cursed. But friends, today, as we open the scriptures, we are reminded that the Lord, our God, never sleeps. And this means that the Lord was not sleeping in 2020 either. Forever, the Lord sits on his heavenly throne. From there, he sees everything. And he is always working in all things for the good of his people. And today, friends, at the beginning of this new year, we must allow our thoughts to ascend to the Lord who is on his throne in heaven. To do this, we're looking at one of the Psalms of Ascents. Look at your Bible and notice the heading of Psalm 121. It says this is a song of ascents. But what does this mean? Well, Psalms 120 through 134 are all labeled as Psalms of Ascents. These psalms were sung each year as God's people Israel would make the journey from their homes to the temple in Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. For many of them, that journey would take a few days. Since Jerusalem was situated on a hill, the people would ascend up the surrounding hills. That's why these psalms the pilgrims would sing are called Psalms of Ascents. However, the pilgrim's journey was not always easy. In fact, sometimes the journey was rather scary. You've all probably heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, who ended up helping a man who had been traveling the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. But on his journey, that man was brutally attacked by robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. There were real dangers on the road. There were real dangers in those hills through which one must travel to reach the holy city and the holy temple. Now, friends, we probably have a hard time relating to this idea, because when we travel from one place to another, we do not tend to think about all the dangers, because our travel is relatively safe. You can travel while you're safely locked in your car, and we know that there are policemen patrolling to keep criminals in check. But a pilgrim traveling through those hills in those days would have been very concerned about safety on his journey. Hills can hide any number of dangers: hungry wild animals, greedy highway robbers, loose rocks, slippery paths. The hills provide cover to many a threat. And so as the psalmist lifts his eyes to those hills where all those dangers lie, those same hills which he must travel through, as he lifts up his eyes to the hills, he asks this question: from where does my help come? And dear friend, maybe you are wondering the exact same thing. As you continue your journey through this life, perhaps you are anxious about your own hills, your own mountains, all the unknowns that you will face this coming year. John Calvin wrote that the hills in this psalm represent anything that is great in this world, anything that may serve as an obstacle to us. What hills can you see rising up before you in 2021? What frustrations and dangers do you anticipate that you know you will need to make your way through this year? And is it worth it? Is it worth it to make the journey through those hills when you know that you will have to face all the dangers that lie therein? Is it worth it for the pilgrim to go all the way to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast days as God commanded, though he could run into robbers on the way? Is it worth it for us to go to church this year, even though we could be exposed to a deadly virus? Is it safer to obey God and go to Jerusalem or go to church? Or is it safer for us to just stay home? The psalmist does not deny the dangers. In fact, he knows that he cannot make this journey on his own. He knows that he needs a helper. And who is that helper? Who is the source of his help? Well, in verse 2, he answers his own question. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And friends, this answer is so comforting that many Reformed churches actually begin their worship services by asking the question, congregation, from where does your help come? And the congregation responds, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Why would they do this? Why begin their worship with these words from Psalm 121? Well, because we are on a journey too. And because we need a helper too, and our helper is the Lord our God, the creator of everything. Friends, have you ever considered what a privilege we have to call the maker of heaven and earth our helper? And when you think about this, it gives a deeper meaning to this psalm of ascents. For this psalm is not only about ascending to the temple in Jerusalem. This psalm is also about allowing our thoughts to ascend to the heavenly throne of Yahweh, our Lord and our God. Derek Kidner writes, "The thought of this verse leaps beyond the hills to the universe. And even beyond the universe to its maker. Here is living help, primary, personal, wise, immeasurable." You see, friends, the Creator himself is on your side. He is your helper. The one who made everything that is. The one who created those hills is the same person who will get you through those hills. Yes, he is the Creator. And he is the controller of all creation. He's sovereign over those hills through which you must go. He is sovereign even over the robbers that might be lying in wait on the way. Every obstacle the Israelite pilgrim will face is in the Lord's control. And every obstacle you will face is in his control as well. He will help you. He will bring you safely to your destination. And so whenever you look at a hill or a mountain, an obstacle standing in your way, try to remember this. Remember where that mountain points. That mountain is pointing straight up into heaven, calling you to lift your eyes past that mountain and to look by faith over that mountain to the Lord who is above that mountain. To look by faith upon the Lord who created that mountain. And friends, this is how we must approach all our obstacles, all the mountains that stand in our path this coming year. Let your obstacles point you to the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Let them remind you that you have the best possible helper on your side. A helper who cares so much, believer, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem you. Let your thoughts ascend to the one who's not only the creator of heaven and earth, but the one who also consented to descend from heaven to earth for us and for our salvation because he cared that much. And he still cares for us. He still is committed to helping us. Look at what verses 3 and 4 tell us about our helper. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 3 begins with a promise, he will not let your foot be moved. Those times when the road is rough or slippery, when you are in danger of losing your foothold, the Lord is watching. In those times, the Lord is able and willing to help you. In fact, the Lord has already proven His willingness to help those who must travel a difficult journey. After the Exodus from Egypt, God's people Israel had to walk through the wilderness for 40 years before they entered the Promised Land. And that wilderness was so much of a mess of pebbles and rocky ground that even to stay on your feet was difficult, and even walking was dangerous. But in Deuteronomy 8:4, looking back on those days, Moses was able to say to the people, "Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years." Isn't that amazing? Your foot did not swell these 40 years. There were no sprained ankles among the people of Israel all those 40 years. The Lord guarded them and helped them. He was their shepherd throughout their journey. Psalm 91, 11 and 12 says, "He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Friends, the Lord our helper is surely able to keep us from stumbling. But when is the Lord watching over us? And the answer we see at the end of verse 3 is so comforting. "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." A little while ago, when we asked one of our boys if he had a nice sleep, he would say, "I didn't sleep. I stayed up the whole night." Now, we knew he was pulling our leg, because this child is not a morning child. He's the one who always sleeps in later than the other two. It's hard to go a whole night without sleeping, isn't it? If any of you have ever tried to pull an all-nighter, you know how much it wears on your body. Boys and girls, the idea of not sleeping for one night or more might sound fun, but if you've ever experienced it, then you know it does not feel very good the next day. The world record for staying awake is apparently 264 hours, about 11 days, and I can't even imagine staying awake for that long. In fact, the Guinness World Records no longer takes records for voluntary sleep deprivation because they're afraid that participants will hurt themselves or die if they go that long without sleep. Thing is, we need sleep, don't we? We can't just stay awake all the time. We can't just stay alert all the time, watching out for something bad that's going to happen to us. But the Lord our God does not need to sleep. The Lord our God is ever watchful. His eyes are always upon His people. And the psalmist wants to direct our attention to this beautiful truth. Notice the first word of verse 4. This is a marker in the scriptures whenever you see this word. Behold. This word means look. It means look, pay attention, listen up. The God who keeps His people Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's able and willing to help. He is never indifferent to our plight, and He is always available to us. And of course, this makes the Lord our God very different from every false god. Do you remember that contest between Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, and the prophets of Baal, which was held on Mount Carmel? At one point, Elijah actually mocked the prophets of Baal and their God. In 1 Kings 18:27, Elijah told them to cry out louder to your god Baal. And Elijah gave some very good reasons why they should yell more loudly to Baal. Because maybe he is relieving himself. Or maybe he is on a journey. Or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. Of course, false gods such as Baal are never awake. False gods cannot pay attention. False gods do not care. Your false gods, your idols, they will not be there for you. But the Lord never sleeps. The Lord is always paying attention, and the Lord is able and willing to answer. He's always on the alert. Nothing can ever catch Him off guard. No matter how tall the mountains are that you face this year, the Lord will see you through. And what is so beautiful about this comfort is that it does not come to us because we deserve it. The truth is, we do not deserve to have so great a helper. Because of our sins, we deserve to be cast away, cursed, thrown out. And nevertheless, we all can sing in the words of the great hymn, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And what has brought me through these things. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. See, dear friends, as Abby did earlier today, and as we do each and every Sunday, we profess our faith in an all-powerful God who is always watchful, a God who will never fail us, a God who knows our sins and who loves us anyway, a God who knows our struggles, in fact, a God who has even been through our struggles because he came down from heaven for us and for our salvation. I want you to think about this with me for a moment because this is so important. Here, Psalm 121 promises us as God's people protection on our journey as we ascend our hills on the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. But what about Christ? What hill did Christ have to ascend? But the hill of Golgotha, the hill of Calvary. A hill far more terrifying than any of the hills that you will need to climb this year. Friends, God promises us protection on our journey, but did Jesus receive that same protection on his journey as he carried the cross to the place where he would be crucified? Did God prevent his back from being scourged? Did God prevent the nails from piercing his hands and his feet? Did God prevent his blood from dripping down onto the dry, thirsty ground? Did God send an army of angels to remove our Lord from that cross? No. And in fact, on that hill, our Lord Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt abandoned by God. Jesus felt everything we deserve to feel because of our sins. And this happened not because God had fallen asleep, not because God was not paying attention to Jesus. Rather, Jesus experienced all these things because God was actively pouring out his infinite wrath upon Christ, his only begotten Son, in our place. Why did Christ willingly ascend that hill? He did it for you. For your sake, dear believer, God made him to be sin who knew no sin so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. And more than anything else, that is the help we need. There is something far more scary than hills and robbers and slippery paths and wild animals, far more dangerous than is the problem of your sin in the sight of a perfectly holy God. That is the number one thing that prevents anyone from arriving at the temple of God in the heavenly Jerusalem, our own sin. But the good news, dear friends, is that even in this, our help still comes from who? From the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is found in the Lord who never sleeps. Our help is found in the Lord who is always attentive. Our help is found in the Lord who knew just what we needed, in the Lord who provided it all in the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you trust in him? And do you feed on the food he provides to strengthen you on your journey through the wilderness of this world? Have you fed upon Christ, the bread of life, the true manna who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world? Church, let us begin this year in faith by feeding upon the body and blood of our Lord. Remember and believe what he has done for you, how he has provided for you. And as we share this heavenly meal, may you know that the Lord will provide for you on this journey, both this year and next year, and for the rest of your life. He will bring you through those hills until he brings you to himself in glory. And therefore now, together, let us feed upon Christ by faith and receive provision for our journey. And in the coming year, whenever you lift up your eyes to those hills, may you also lift them up a little higher to look by faith upon the God of heaven, your great helper who never, ever sleeps. Amen. Let us pray. Our great God in heaven, we worship you for who you are, the creator of heaven and earth. We thank you for caring for us. We thank you for loving us and descending from heaven in the person of your Son to deliver us from all our sin and misery. We thank you that he was willing to ascend the hill of Golgotha, ascend to that place between heaven and earth as he was raised up on that cross, the only mediator between God and man. We thank you for his body and blood through which we may receive life by faith. And we ask you to bless us now by your Holy Spirit's power with a faith that clings to Christ. Assure us of your love and care both today and throughout this year. Oh, how thankful we are, O Lord, to have a God who is all loving, all wise, all powerful, and always available to us. A God who always cares and who never sleeps. Bless us with faith that we might believe this is who you are throughout this year and live by faith in you. And also please bless our Sabbath rest this day and our partaking of the Lord's Supper and return us all safely this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.